Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Acts of Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and you can listen to this program at 96.5 FM in the Sacramento area. And if you're just joining us, we're listening to Bill McKibben and Chris Mooney talk about the protests against the Keystone XL pipeline, the Do the Math Tour, the rallying of students to call for their universities to divest from fossil fuel companies.
We're no longer facing insuperable technological obstacles. There's lots of research and development that needs to be done, and we should be putting money there. But what we really should be doing is deploying the stuff we know about as fast as we can on a kind of wartime footing. And if we had the muscle of the fossil fuel industry behind that task, if that's what they were pressuring and lobbying, whatever, to get done, then we'd be getting somewhere. Exxon spends $100 million every day looking for more hydrocarbons, even though everybody at this point, it's not just me and Rolling Stone. I mean, since then, the World Bank and the IEA have both come out the same analysis. We need to keep 70% to 80% of the reserves underground to have any hope to stand below 2 degrees. Instead, they're busy trying to find more. So that's the dynamic. That's the deadlock we got to break. And in a sense, we're less worried at this point, I think, about the puppets in Washington than about the people pulling their strings.
Well, yeah, and that World Bank report really was stunning, basically just saying, I mean, I didn't read all of it, but I read enough, just saying, you know, we're going to have a 4 degrees Celsius warmer world by 2100 if nothing is done. And they basically just say that will be catastrophic for civilization as we know it. I mean, no pulling punches.
For civilization, even for our economy.
Yeah.
That's the part that everybody always talks endlessly, as you know, about the extreme and how expensive it'll be to make this transition and whatever. Economists are terrible at subtracting, in my experience. And, they're very bad at just like pointing out that you really can't have an economy of any kind on a wrecked planet at the rate we're going. Look, 1 degree caused this year the drought and some part of Sandy, that's some huge chunk out of our GDP right there. We start having this kind of stuff all the time. That's what our economy will be, just this kind of emergency response department. And if you think this year was tough on us, think about the economic impact on poor people around the world when the price of corn and soybeans and grain in general goes up 40% in the course of 6 weeks because we have a failed harvest. Think about what that does to country after country, place after place.
I want to remind our listeners one more time that Bill McKibben's latest book, Earth, is available through our website, pointofinquiry.org. Just one more thing that's a little bit contrary, Bill. Given the horrible state we're in and the gigantic threat to the planet, which I fully, as someone who's been reporting on this science for 10 years, I'm completely with you on that. But you could take that same evidence and say, you know what? It is such a catastrophe that we are courting here that, it'd be nice to sort of stop the fossil fuel industry from burning all its reserves. But hey, maybe we really should be thinking about geoengineering the planet and putting up a solar reflector to get some of the sunlight out of the Earth planetary system. I mean, you could see that argument too.
There are people who are thinking about that and beginning to look at it. And I'm afraid we probably should be investing at least a little money in figuring out what the possibilities are. But it's definitely, as you know, a kind of break the glass solution. There's no reason to think it's going to work very well. Most, the scientists tell us they don't even have the computing power to analyze sort of how these, sulfates in the atmosphere or things play out. If you do them, you got to keep doing them for 10,000 years without stopping, because otherwise you trigger runaway climate change if you stop. And, most powerfully, none of them do anything at all to help with the fact that we're destroying the planet's oceans, acidifying them very rapidly. Even if there were no other result of burning fossil fuel, that would be more than reason enough to stop it fast. The oceans, after all, are a kind of important part of our planet.
No, you actually just reminded me something that I'd forgotten, which is that, yes, geoengineering does not stop ocean acidification. But I just think, I think that people still are not processing the magnitude of the kind of game you're playing. If you think about sea level rise and you think about humanity, it built near water. It built all of its infrastructure near water because A, yeah, it was beautiful. B, it was extremely convenient for all kinds of things that you wanted to do, like getting things around. And climate change is coming up and saying, oops, you built in the wrong place.
Yes. Yeah. And the real trouble is that as long as we keep going like we're going, it's not like you can, say you could muster all the money and energy and everything to move New York a little bit, and get it out of harm's way for 50 or 100 years. Well, the ocean just going to keep rising and rising unless we get this under control very fast. That's why, yes, we have to adapt to that which we can't prevent. And there's a lot of that underway. Even with current scenarios, we're clearly going to have to build some kind of seawall or barrier or something to protect New York. But much more importantly, we have to prevent that to which we cannot adapt. And that's the most important work of the next few years, because that's the window of opportunity we have to head off the most sort of frightening science fiction scenarios.
Well, so what are you expecting to happen on Keystone? I mean, we're going to get some kind of decision. Do you have any sense? And what is your response going to be if it goes through? I mean, you seem to fear that that's going to happen.
I mean, I'm not a good... What I don't know about politics in Washington would fill a book. So my sense is, what we're going to do is fight as hard as we can. We've already held one big demonstration in Washington. We held it about 10 days after the election. We pushed the button to invite people to come, in the email blast 10 minutes after NBC declared Obama the winner. As Naomi Klein said one night on this roadshow, that we're glad he won, but no honeymoons and no hero worship this time, and in fact, people should circle President's Day on their calendar because we're coming back to Washington in big numbers on that weekend to remind the president that no one's forgotten about Keystone. And this time it'll be a broad coalition of environmental groups and it'll be a powerful reminder. I don't know how it comes out. I mean, look, you know, TransCanada, the company that wants to build this thing, has clearly wired the process. They're going to get the State Department to approve it. They've, you know, they hired Hillary Clinton's former deputy campaign manager as their chief lobbyist. Not, I'm guessing, because of his extreme knowledge of pipelines, you know. That's the kind of way they work. They've poured insane amounts of money. In the end, it'll come down to Barack Obama's call. And my guess is, as is often the case, it'll come down to whether we've done a good enough job of organizing, whether we convince him that, in a sense, as is I think the case, his legacy depends on beginning to leave some carbon in the ground. My guess is 50 years from now, when people look back at the Obama years, no one's going to care at all about, you know, whether or not he faced down the Republicans over the fiscal cliff or, you know, whatever the heck it is that they're worried about in Washington this week. My guess is the only thing they'll care about is whether we took action or not to deal with the emergent, pressing, impossible problem of climate change. We have zillions of people in D.C., you know, frantic about what happens to the Social Security Trust Fund in 2040. We need a lot more of them frantic about what happens to the planet's climate long before that.
Well, let's say that what would a reasonably, realistically successful next 4 years on this issue look like to you? I mean, what would make you think, all right, I mean, this, I didn't get everything, but we got a lot. What would that be?
I think what it would look like, I think how it would start would be blocking Keystone, and with that, having a sort of semi-unified environmental movement stretching from the grassroots through the big green organizations up to the White House that would then work hard to get some things done in Congress. We need some kind of serious price on carbon. Everybody's known that for a long time. It's a hard reach, but not an impossible one, since Mother Nature keeps providing us with more and more reasons why. And since we have good mechanisms like fee and dividend that should be politically palatable to get it done. So that would be good, but even that by itself is doesn't really help that much. What then has to happen is an all-out, and I mean all-out, diplomatic offensive to make sure that this translates into action all around the world. We spend more money on our military than the rest of the world spends on theirs combined. But, you know, taking some of that focus and money and transferring it instead to the incredibly important national security task of, say, turning India into a solar-powered country, of changing the trajectory of fossil fuel development across the developing world. That's the huge challenge. We can't do it until we've at least begun to get our own house in order. But once we do, that's the world historic task.
Well, hopefully, although, you know, people are not so psyched about the UN, but they're talking about 2015. I don't know if it can all be done by then, but I mean, that would be something.
Well, we got to shame the UN in a little way, the same way to do Congress. 350.org is organizing a huge gathering in Istanbul in June, five or six young people from every country on earth. And we're going to just lay out what we need the UN to do, not to just keep jabbering away, but to actually get to work. And since they're not, we're going to give them the agenda to go on, and then we're going to go push hard in Washington, in every other capital in the world. No guarantee we're going to win, none at all, but it's very clear now that we're going to fight. The spread of this divestment movement gives me real hope, just to demonstrate how many people of all ages there are willing and ready to go to work.
Well, Bill, I just got to say in conclusion, I am awed by everything and you know, really stunned by everything you've achieved in just a short period of time. And I think I just want to applaud it. So thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you for all your good writing, man. It's an incredibly important part of this, and we enjoy just being reading it and being kept up to date on this story all the time. What you're doing is really key. So thank you.
Access Sacramento broadcasts great speeches and interviews every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m., or you can get the podcast at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
La 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 dream 17. So afraid I'm missing something. Count the miles to your face.
So I drive
to Winnipeg. I could be anywhere under the moon, and I could be anywhere. Newport, I could be anywhere that I'm with you. Could be anywhere.
La, 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 la.
I could be anywhere.
La, 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 la.
I could be anywhere. I could be anywhere. I could be anywhere.
Yeah, la, la.
I could be.
Must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh, and know they love you. Of tender years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
Without brothers, we will share all. of our mountain, all the riches buried there. Now the valley cries with anger, mount your horses, draw your sword, and they kill the mountain people, so they won their just reward. Now they stood beside the treasure on the mountain, dark and red, turned the stone and looked beneath. On earth was all it said. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, you've been justified in the end. There won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after, one tin soldier rides away.
Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, when I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. When she for slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No, no. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when they sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, again. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything we've done, your Bobby, baby, kept me from the cold world. One day I'm near Selena Sloan, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. But I train all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday, to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. Honey, feeling good was easy, alone when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. La-da-da, la-da-da-da, la-da-da-da-da-da-da. La-da-da. La na 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 na, la 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 la, Bobby. I can't come on.